You're listening to Lambs Media, sponsored by OnlySuperNews.com. Lambs Media is proudly sponsored by OnlySuperNews.com, news to make you feel good.
Hello, good evening everyone, and a warm welcome to week 4 of the Lambs Media Weekly Quarantine Podcast. I'm your host, Harry Hanslow, for this evening's show, and I do hope that everyone is well and staying safe. I do hope everyone can hear me, and as always, if you've got any questions or anything like that, pop them in the comment section, and as always, we'll be try and read some of those out throughout the evening. The idea behind these podcasts is to bring content such as interviews and questions to the fans, raise awareness of all the different competitions, challenges and content that you can have access to and get involved with over this period, and we're going to have a little bit more detail on that later because we've got some exciting to reveal this evening. Today's episode, however, will predominantly be made up of an interview from two of Tamworth FC's legends, Mark Hallam and Warren Houghton, along with, as I just mentioned, a couple of other bits of news in between. As always, as I said throughout the show, make sure you are active in the chat, and if appropriate, I will give you a shout out. I can see already, good evening to Matt, Kev, Andy Jones, JLR20, I think that's you, and anyone else listening, of course, as always, just drop us a message and we'll read them out. So, first this evening then, if you've been a supporter of Tamworth FC for a number of years now, you'll be well aware of who the H-Bombers were. Unfortunately, it was a bit before my time. But Mark Hallam and Warren Houghton have 184 goals between them throughout their playing time at Tamworth FC. And luckily, earlier in the week, Lambs Media's Kev Clark had the opportunity to catch up with the pair of them. And I will hand over to Kev for that interview now.
So, guys, you guys scored 184 goals between you for the Lambs. Mark, 115 in 237 appearances. Warren, 69 in 140. So you both got a strike rate of just under 1 in 2. But tell us, you know, about how your moves to Tamworth came about in the first place, because obviously fans wouldn't necessarily know that. They would only know from when you played for us.
Probably easy if I go first, yeah, because I arrived before Mark, and as the current manager of Tamworth at the moment, Gary Smith, was who I'd known a good 10 years before I arrived at the club. I wasn't enjoying my football. I was over the down the road at Sutton United, Sutton Town, wasn't enjoying it, even thinking about just kind of giving up. I was about 24, 25 at the time. And Gary said, listen, just get yourself over to Tamworth. Come and train with us. Come and enjoy your football, because I know you're good enough to get in the team. So within a week, I'd come over. I'd start training. I think I played about a month in the reserves. I was happy with that. All I was interested in was playing football, training with people I liked, and enjoying my football again. I wasn't even thinking about getting into Tamworth's first team. I just wanted to get into an environment where I actually wanted to go and train, and it sort of carried on from there. Just like I said, a month in the reserves, and I got in and around the first team, and that was towards the end of the season. Then I had a good pre-season, and then I think after about 6 or 7 games, I gradually got on the bench and eased my way in. So, and I think I remember my first goal was in the FA Cup against Leek CSOB, and as you guys know, kind of things kind of moved on from there.
Yeah, they certainly did. Strength to strength and all that. It was a fantastic time at the club. Mark, how about yourself? How did you come to join Tamworth?
I have a slightly different path in. So I was at Forest Green at the time. I just moved there sort of the season before. We'd actually won the Southern Premier that year, which was fantastic. And we sort of promoted into the conference, and I'd been playing, but obviously Forest Green, Stroud is an awful long way away from obviously Leicester, where I was living at the time. Sort of got to about Christmas time, and I was playing. I was sort of playing, but the manager came to me and said, "Look, sort of I've had an approach from Tamworth, and." You know, it's your decision really whether you want to move or stay with us. You know, you're gonna be playing. You know, I'm not saying that we want to get rid of you, but obviously appreciate it's a long way for you to travel. And would you be interested in the move? So, I'd probably say now, and this is hand on heart, that probably any other club in the Midlands other than Tamworth, I'd have probably said no and stayed in the conference. But I think the sort of if you like, my sort of affiliation with Tamworth probably started years and years before, when I was a young kid sort of starting out at Leicester United, sort of a now defunct club. And mm-hmm. I always recollect, you know, going, you know, so used to playing in front of one man and his dog, and I recollect going to Tamworth to play in a midweek League Cup game, and there was about 1,500 people there. And I think it just really hit me as a youngster, sort of 18, 19, suddenly playing in front of, you know, a huge crowd at the Lamb. And I think it just stuck with me. It just stuck with me forever. And I think I always sort of enjoyed going there and loved everything about the club. And I think when they approached at that time, it was sort of a bit of a no-brainer decision for me, to be honest. It was something a club I'd wanted to play for, and I jumped at the chance and sort of played at Stevenage away in the conference on the Saturday, and then was playing Gresley away on a Wednesday night in sort of whatever the League Cup game was on the Wednesday. It was like surreal, but yeah, absolutely. Was sort of an easy decision for me, to be honest.
Could I just mention that game, actually, because I always remember it being Gresley, and my first impression of Mark was, he's a bit robust, he's all right, but he wins a lot of balls in the air, and I thought, you'll do for me, and it just seemed to click from there.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. Yeah, it was just a perfect sort of playing partnership, wasn't it, in terms of... somebody being reading the flicks. I was good at some things, not so good at others, but one thing I sort of could do quite well was be strong in the air and flick a lot of the sort of long balls on that, you know, somebody read it and had the pace which Warren had, then yeah, they could benefit, and it was a start of something good.
Yeah, it's certainly well complimented, that's for sure. But interesting that that sticks in your mind. Like you say, away in the conference, I think you said Stevenage, and then
yeah.
Gresley, your next game away at the moat. And,
yeah.
Well, yeah, very, very different ends of the spectrum there. No disrespect intended to Gresley Rovers Football Club, but yeah, exactly. Now, we've mentioned the stats already, guys, and all those goals that were scored, but is there one in particular that stands out as a favourite goal for either of you?
Go on, Moz, you go first.
I don't remember scoring many goals from outside the box, but I think I remember, again, going back through some of the paper clippings, I remember scoring a screamer against Atherstone, strangely enough. But clearly the one most Tamworth fans will remember me for is the two goals against Bury, the first one in the first game of the Lamb, and obviously the goal at Gig Lane to take us 1-0 up. And you know, we went for that game. We kind of thought that might be the winner, but yeah, that's the goal. That's my favourite goal in a sense of the game, the stature, the fact he was in the FA Cup. It was a game at a league ground. Let's not forget, Bury at the time had just been relegated from the Championship, so they were a strong League One side, as you would call them now. And Neil Warnock in charge, a crowd were on their back. I remember going there, Mark, and they were booing them, and we could not believe how they were booing their team, and that really gave us a boost. But
I think they're chanting Warnock out from about the 15th minute, weren't they?
Yeah, unbelievable. Just going through on goal and rounding the keeper and slotting it in, and then the celebration afterwards. That will never leave me, and I'll always remember that goal and that game.
Yeah, well, just on that, before you go on to your favourite moment, Mark, I was actually behind that goal and one of those few thousand that had made it that evening, and it will always stay with me as well, Warren. Yeah, thank you for that moment. It was absolutely brilliant. But I'm all right in remembering as well, we're shooting towards the other end. Didn't you hit the post as well?
Yeah.
Was that from an offside, or would it have counted if it had gone in? I can't remember.
I remember it now. It was... It was some really nice build-up play, and Nick Colley came in, cut in from the right, slipped me in, and I was through on goal. And if I'm a striking coach now, I'm telling the striker, you hit across the goal, but I hit the near post, and it hit the near post and went out. So it's one of those sliding doors moments, really. You say, do I do it low, or do I go across the keeper? And in retrospect, I should have gone across the keeper, made it 2-0, and it would have been game over, but I just drilled it, and it just hit the post.
Now, do you think that the guy at the time, Paddy Kenny, I believe, went on to play for Sheffield United and a Premiership goalkeeper? He was a massive guy. Was that, do you think that played any part in your decision making at that point?
I challenge that. He was tiny. I thought he was tiny.
Do you really?
Goalkeeper. Yeah. I think in terms
I think he asked a lot of questions of the scales when he stood on them. I don't think he was necessarily tall.
He wasn't tall, no.
OK. OK, Mark, your favourite goal. Let's move on before we get in trouble with Paddy.
I thought about this, obviously, in terms of what my favourite one is. It's difficult, really, to come out with a single goal.
Scored that many.
Well, a little bit of that, pal, but there you go. But I think they all, sort of certain ones have different meanings and different times. It depends on the game, etc. And, I think for Warren scoring in the FA Cup at Gig Lane, etc., they're fantastic memories and they stand out. I think I've got a few, really. I think probably one of the first ones, a favourite, was one of my first early games when played at home against Cambridge. I remember scoring, I think it was probably my second home game. I scored all four goals, I think, in a 4-0 win or something like that. And I think my fourth goal was a free kick, curled in, top bag.
It was 6-0, Mark.
Was it 6?
It was 6, you got 4. Yeah,
you see, your memories, you've definitely been looking up on the old scrapbook, haven't you?
I have. The thing is, if I didn't do that, I'd have actually offered pretty much nothing to this podcast. So I thought, you know, as a person in my position now, who works with media personalities, I thought I'd have to do some work and have a look. Yeah,
you've got to do your research. So that was obviously that was for me to hit, like probably as Warren said, very few goals outside the area. So to actually hit a free kick and actually go where I intended it to was probably more of a miracle than necessarily good goal.
Yeah.
In terms of the season, the 44 goal season, again, with Warren, it was a goal against Atherstone. I think it was very rarity for me. I think it was an overhead kick I scored in the second half.
I remember it.
Smashed the ball past Dale Belford, which is always a pleasure to do. But yeah, an overhead kick. Me, imagine getting my ball off the ground to do an overhead kick. I was probably quite slim in those early days. And then probably the couple of other ones. Finally, then probably from the trophy run, which was incredible, was goal against Nuneaton Borough, diving header.
Oh yes.
And that was just the whole game, the atmosphere. You know, yeah. It was about 3,000 in there. It was a really sort of hostile, fabulous game. And to smash them as a conference side that they were was a great day. And sort of that diving header was a bit special. And then probably the other one would be the goal away at Margate. And this one is for Warren, because that was a right foot outside the box, curled into an empty net from near the touchline. the last goal
scored around in the annals for that.
The last goal scored in at Margate's ground, I think it was, as well, before they knocked it down. So yeah, that was I think they were just either stood out, but scoring.
I think, to be fair to Margaret, I thought we may as well knock this place down if we're going to let that guy score goals like that.
Yeah, we're going to fold. It's all done. Let's just give it up.
Incredible story, gents.
Yeah, a few Margate fans coming up and asking me to sign the programme because it was the last game at the ground and stuff like that. So yeah, it's nice. Yeah, great. Every goal is. As any goal scorer would say, every goal you score is memorable in its own way. So it's all good.
Yeah, but it's different from a fan's point of view, I think, because as I still am a fan, of course, now, but part of the media team. But back then, following Tamworth up and down the country, you know, it's slightly different for a fan, as you guys have kind of alluded to. You play that many games, you score that many goals, you're involved in that many moments like that it almost becomes... what's the word? You don't take it all in, or you do at the time, but then years later you have to really think about what happened back then. But it's brilliant to relive some of those moments, gents. It really is.
Well, I remember exactly right. I remember a moment. Sort of Warren did a little bit yesterday with me. He talked about our awards evening up at. We went to, was it the Grosvenor or down London was?
It was a hotel in West London. I'm not quite sure where it was.
But obviously, Kenny Dalglish, it was like an amazing day. I was sitting down with Warren and we were chatting, I think. And obviously, we'd gone down. We'd taken time off work or whatever to go down there and et cetera. And I think I remember saying to Warren, I said, tell you what, pal, whatever we get offered... over the next few weeks, few months, events, dues, whatever, just go to every single one. Because you know what? This might not happen again.
Mm. I remember it. I said, mate, behave yourself. What the hell's problems? It's going to happen again. and what happened? We couldn't buy a goal for 3 months afterwards.
Oh, mate, no. We couldn't buy a goal, no, exactly.
Well, that day when we went to that hotel, I, as I said in the other piece that I did, I said to you, I said, Mark, look, there's Dan Mulvey. And he goes, oh, yeah. And I said to you, didn't I? Look, yeah. Kenny Dalglish. But he said, because I think what was happening at the time was Jan Mulvey was moving his head forward and back, and you couldn't see him. He's like, no, it's not. Get out of here. I go, look, it's Kenny Dalglish.
And then
what happens? We're on stage.
Yeah.
He turns up and presents us with our Predator boots. And he was just... You know, I'm a Man United fan and Mark's a Leicester fan, but this guy was one of the greatest people to ever put on a pair of football boots. And for him to be at the first non-league awards and present us with our trophies was a big deal. Yeah, it was a big deal.
Excited kids sort of going, is he going to present us with the boot? Do you think it will be him? Are you like, oh, we have a picture taken with Kenny Dalglish.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And that was 99-2000 season, wasn't it? Where you got that award.
Yeah,
and
it was.
Like you said, like you alluded to, Warren, a moment ago, you couldn't really buy a goal for 3 months after that. But what would you put that down to? Obviously, strikers go through, you know, rich veins of form, good times, bad times, the same as partnerships, and only takes one not to be quite firing for it not to work. But you did struggle a little bit after that. Do you think maybe it just played on your mind and you felt that you were something all of a sudden and you had to, I don't know, whether it just psychologically affected you guys?
No. I think we have to be fair. I think as a team, we struggled at the start of the season. But what happened was the focus seemed to be on us. And you have to accept that if we're going to be in the position we were, if we're going to be scoring all these goals, if we're going to be award winners at the time, I think we do have to sort of accept there is going to be a level of scrutiny on us. And I think at the time, I thought, looking back, I thought that the level of scrutiny on myself and Mark was unfair. And I remember, Mark, you remember some of the conversations we had to and from games and at full time. I thought we were harshly singled out by Paul Hendry.
Mm-hmm.
And by some of the players as well. I thought it was unfair that they kind of... I understood they were looking to us to score goals, but my argument was, we weren't playing well as a team, so if we're not playing well as a team, we're not going to create that many chances, hence we're not going to score that many goals. And it happened, I remember it happened for a while, and we had a few rows in the change room, and I had a couple of big rows with the manager at the time. So these things happened, looking back at people, I remember we went to Welling, and they absolutely tanked us, didn't they? And
God's sake, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, we were poor. It was a bad day all round. I remember having a massive row with Rob Mutchell as well at half time, and he spilled that onto the pitch, and that was one of the things which was I didn't cover myself in glory that day. I should have probably kept a lid on it, but it happened, and we weren't playing well. But eventually, as the team got better, it's like in any team, if the team aren't playing well, centre forwards usually struggle. That isn't me passing any blame on 21, but as a team we struggled. But I think it was a case of we all had to simply get our heads down and work hard and get us back to a level of performance and playing which we knew we could get to.
I sort of add to that. I think that Welling has reminded me of a sort of an incident with myself at that point in time as well. And I think what you saw early, I think we obviously as a team and as a club we'd made massive strides the season before. We'd got to the first round of the FA Cup. We'd sort of finished, I think, fifth in the league or sixth, where I'm not quite sure, but fabulous achievement, you know, personally and as a football club. And I think over the summer, and I think as a group of players weren't necessarily overly experienced in terms of stepping up to that level. And I think over the summer, we didn't really strengthen, if I recollect. And it was sort of the same group of players. And I think we started the next season. We had a horrific start. And I remember the Welling game for one particular thing for myself. I mean, we got, as you say, we got tonked, I think, four. But it should have been seven. It was embarrassing. But we used to do.
I know what's coming.
It's funny looking back 20 years. But what we used to do, we used to run a little sweep on the bus down, a little results card. And some stupid idiot decided this day to put Tamworth Welling on the card. So anyway, so we put all the results down, blah de blah de blah, and I put Welling win. Anyway, there you go. Don't think anything of it, do you? Don't think anything of this. You put it down, whatever, etc. Never bet on your own team. That's always my mantra. So anyway, so they on the bus afterwards, they announced the winners of the sweep, And the winners are, or the winner is Mark Hallam. All right, okay. And what result won me the sweep? It was Welling beating Tamworth. Anyway, I got hauled in front of, I think Bob wasn't very happy. I think Mr. Hendry equally pulled me in the week. I was fined. I think I was actually dropped for the next game.
Were you fined?
Yeah, I was fined. Because I'd put Welling to Tamworth on a result.
What I found interesting at the time, Mark, was on the bus, you were actually trying to explain yourself, saying you were going on form. I remember it now. It was a difficult thing to argue.
Warren, was that just before he got ejected and left on the motorway to make his own way back?
I'll tell you what, if Bob Andrew have had his way, I bloody would have.
Yeah, good luck getting back home from South East London.
I know. I think what Warren's exactly right there, but even that early stage, I mean, we were only talking, this was the third game of the season, maybe fourth, but already the cracks were, you know, you could, if you look back now, which we can in 20 years, you can go, well, the cracks in that team and that squad. No, not necessarily in the team, actually, was, because that's not necessarily true. But I think the cracks within the team spirit.
I think there was a frustration, Mark. I think there was a frustration because, again, looking back, I think because we'd set a standard from last season. And listen, we all talk about teams at all levels setting a standard. We'd set a standard, as you mentioned. We got to the FA Cup, but we got to fifth. And for us, it was a springboard to actually make some sort of serious challenge to win the title and get promoted. And to have such a bad start, frustration crept in all around the squad because we were better than that. We were languishing in the bottom four or five at one point. And for me, looking back, it was a real frustration that we hadn't had a good start and we hadn't kicked on from where we were last season.
I've seen some clips and you're seeing them all at the minute now in terms of people are posting old stuff and I've seen some old non-league papers from that season. And at Christmas we were third bottom at Christmas and we were poor. We were good players but we weren't a team. We were just a bunch of individuals at that time and unfortunately Paul and Andy couldn't get us through it. They couldn't bring us together. You know, they couldn't bring us together as a group. And you know, as sad as it was the right time for Paul and Andy to move on. And probably no surprise to everybody that Gary Mills came in and took that same group of players and immediately turned them into championship form.
Mm. You know, chaps, it's brilliant to get your insight. And actually, what I was going to ask you guys next was, what was it like playing for Paul Hendry and Andy Dwyer? Was it a good cop, bad cop scenario? How did it work? Because it was successful for a period of time.
They were good guys. Yeah, they were good guys. I've got nothing but respect for them because, as you know, they brought me in. They gave me an opportunity. And one of the things I'll always remember about Paul Hendry was. His team talk for any new player coming to the team, he would literally go through a scenario of handing you the shirt. And he would say to you, I'm handing you the shirt, don't ever give it to me back. Which meant, you play well, you keep the shirt, you stay in the team. And that was one of the best motivational sort of things he ever said to me. You know, listen, we can all talk about tactics, we can all talk about team shapes and formations, but something as simple as that, literally handing you a shirt and saying, I've handed you the shirt, don't ever give it to me back. For me, that was one of the best things a manager's ever said to me.
No, exactly the same as Warren said. Paul and Andy, they were incredibly successful for their period at Tamworth, as happens at most clubs. You know, it went away slightly at the end and that was a shame for everybody, but I think their period of success was very good and they were different. Paul, very, very quiet, very sort of mild-mannered, you know, very, very good, very astute. And Andy was the guy who just used to just to run you and beast you. They weren't really good cop, bad cop, though, to be fair. It's I didn't really see them at that at all, to be honest. They were a good team. They were a good team that worked very well for 3-4 years and took, you know, sort of were part of that journey that sort of stepped up to the conference. But they let's not forget, they bought in the players that enabled Gary Mills to, well, Darren G, to win the league. That mm-hmm. core of the squad was the players that Paul and Andy had sort of highlighted and bought in. So they do deserve a lot of credit of putting in place that sort of foundation for where the club progressed to.
And we will be back very shortly with the second half of that interview. A few messages in the chat then. Good evening to Stu Jones, Andy, Emma, James, Josh and Sarah, as well as anyone else who is listening in. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been talking very extensively about the FA's decision to null and void the season. Today, a meeting took place for the two leagues above Tamworth. I think many fans are sort of hoping that if the league above decides to finish on a point per game or something similar to that, then this ruling over step three could be overturned. That National League board meeting, they've said that they're awaiting an update from the EFL before deciding upon their season. They are still actually hoping to promote teams up to League Two, interestingly. So that's from the National League up to League Two. So I guess we'll hear a little bit more information about that in the coming weeks. Last week I also spoke about a poll hosted on Twitter about how non-league fans wanted to see the season end, and the results from that poll have now been revealed. Over 2,000 people got involved. 46% voted for a mathematical formula, 33% voted for null and void, and 21% voted to use current positions. Meanwhile, lawyers for South Shields have sent further letters to the FA and the Northern Premier League as they continue to challenge them against the null and void decision. Also, in the last half an hour or so, it's been announced that the FA have postponed the June and July fitness tests for non-league referees at step 3-5, which is something I believe happens every year before the new season's due to start. That indicates two things: that either the non-league season isn't going to be likely to start on time because these fitness tests won't have taken place at the normal point, or these tests won't be happening and the season will still start on time. So it'll be interesting to see how that does pan out. Before we do get back to Kev's interview with the H-Bombers, as always, I'm just going to quickly run over some different things which Lambs Media are doing and will continue to do over the next few months. In the comments section, I will post again all the links that you need to get access to these things. First is On This Day, which is on our Twitter page, which is a throwback or a memory from the past which occurred on this day in history. It's just something to keep an eye on, 8 o'clock every morning on Twitter. Also on Twitter, we've been hosting the Greatest Player Competition. Today is the final for that competition. We've got about an hour and a half to go now until that vote is over. In the last four, we have Dale Belford, Steve Cartwright, Mark Hallam and Russ Gordon. So far today, we've had nearly 1,800 votes. And the current standings in that final vote are Steve Cartwright out in the lead with 54%, Russ Gordon in second with 34%, Mark Hallam in third with 7%, and Dale Belford in fourth with 5%. And that's after a good couple of weeks of voting. And I can now reveal also that the success and feedback we've received on that competition, as of this coming weekend, we'll be starting the Greatest Manager competition with 8 rounds of 4 More details on that in the coming days, so just keep an eye on Twitter for that. We've also got the quarantine quizzes, which each week we've got 10 questions based on the club. We're now on week 7. You can access that by clicking the link provided. This week is based around the FA Vars Trophy Final. It's the anniversary week from that, actually. The 10th of May 1989. So all the questions this week are based on the FA Vars. So be sure to have a little attempt at that while listening along to the second half of the interview. We've also made all these quizzes multiple choice from now on, just to iron out any errors. As of tomorrow morning, we've been trying for a little while now to find the goal of the season. Based on the shortlist, which the fans, you guys, have nominated, we have now put together the final 10 of all the goals this season. Then this time next week, next Tuesday on this show, we were going to reveal the winner. So keep an eye on our YouTube channel tomorrow morning and get your votes in from the final 10. You've probably seen over the last couple of days that the documentary of the season has also been released onto our YouTube channel. So if you haven't already, be sure to head over and give that a watch. So overall, there's plenty to be getting on with in the coming weeks, as well as tuning into this weekly podcast at 8 p.m. on a Tuesday night. You can also catch up on any previous episodes that you may have missed out on for whatever reason through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts by searching Lambs Media. We now return to Kev Clark, who is bringing us an interview with the H-Bombers, Mark Hallam and Warren Houghton, as we now return for the second half of that interview.
Now, you guys played alongside some very good players back then, but who would you say were the unsung heroes? Because a lot of players get a lot of credit, and you guys certainly got your fair share, as well as criticism at times as well, but there would have been players in and around you in that team over those couple of seasons where, like I say, were unsung heroes. So start with you, Mark. Who would you say would deserve more credit than they actually got?
There's only one for me. There's only one player that, to me, I think was the real unsung hero, and that's Rob Warner. I sort of went through, when I saw the question, I went through, say, well, through the team, who were the, who would have been an unsung hero in that side? And I think it was Robbie Warner. I think he was absolutely top draw, and he could and should have been playing higher standard. He was an absolute Rolls Royce. In my opinion, he was just a Rolls Royce of a player. He was top draw and very, very, I think personally, very, very unsung. Was the one who was always every week 8 out of 10, 8 out of 10. But never got the, I don't think he ever really got the credit he fully deserved.
Yeah, I'll throw in Rob Mutchell as well on the other side, yeah, who I thought, yeah, was Mr. Dependable. But interesting, Mark talks about Rob Warner. Again, when he turned up, he did a pre-season with us, and I thought, he's just here just to get fit. There's no way on this earth he's going to sign for us, because he was that good.
Yeah.
And as Mark says, he was... I haven't played with a better right back.
No.
He could defend, he had pace, he was athletic, he could get forward, he could put a cross in. One of the things with Rob as well, because we played with him so much, you got to know his game, and
yeah,
there'd be things where he'd just look at us and we knew what he was going to do. It would be either a ball to feet or a ball over the top for us to chase. We just knew by looking at him exactly what he was going to do. And as I can only echo what Mark says, he's easily one of the best players that I've ever played with. He was that good, and should have easily have been playing league football.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, it's amazing how some players, you can just see they've got the quality, but they just somehow never progress up the pyramid and into the Football League. And he's one of those, with Rob Warner, I think a lot of fans would look back and arguably they would say he was the best, right fullback that we ever had. Some would disagree with that, but he's been very popular, and yet he never really springboarded into the league. And question marks, definitely.
I think probably Warren would maybe agree with this. I think that what you tend to find when you look back is that ultimately players play at the level they deserve to be, and that's in respect to their, not just their ability, but but their mental attitude and their desire and their drive. And I think with Rob was very comfortable. He was very happy. He was studying to be a solicitor, I think.
An accountant, accountant,
that's it, yeah. And so I think his life was in a good place and he was incredibly happy and enjoyed his time at Tamworth. But you just knew that, God, this lad has got the ability to play higher. But, you know, ultimately his drive and ambition, you know, he played at the level he was right at. And we were very, I think we were very lucky and fortunate to have him.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your insight, guys. That's interesting, really, because I didn't expect you to come out with fullbacks, left and right fullbacks. I thought they would maybe be, you know, one of those ugly midfielders that does all the, you know, unnoticed work.
Are you calling David Foy an ugly midfielder?
I knew when I said that you'd hold me to account on that.
If you think I'm mentioning Foyzy, yeah, no way. Foyzy's
I did think he might creep in there.
Foyzy's not unsung.
But no, exactly, that's my point. I mean, Foyzy got a lot of credit. He was a fantastic footballer and a great free-kick taker. But he did get a lot of adulation. So my question was very much to the point, you know, those people that don't really get the credit at the time. So, yeah, interesting to hear your answers there, gents. Now, we've heard quite a lot about your time at Tamworth, but often the case, you know, when players move on, their time comes to an end at a club and they carry on playing elsewhere or fall out of the game and go into other things. But I'm just interested, really, if you could just enlighten the listeners as to where your careers went after leaving Tamworth.
Let me go first, because Warren might be a long time doing this. And this will be a lot more interesting. This will be a lot more interesting than mine. Oh, love it. I mean, obviously, yeah, I left after the FA Trophy final. I mean, it was an incredibly disappointing, underwhelming way to end five fabulous years. But, you know, there you go.
What did you leave, Mark? Pardon? Explain to me why you left. Why did you leave?
So, okay, I'll explain to you exactly what happened. So, I'd had a decent season. You know, I knew I was coming to the end of my career. I was 30, 35. But we just got promotion into the conference. And I was approached after the FA Trophy final by Darren. Darren approached me and said, we'd like you to stay at the club. This is what he said, by the way. I'm not necessarily saying this is what he meant, but this is what he said. I'd like you to stay at the club, but what we're going to do is we're going to put you on expenses, and we're going to be training sort of 3 days a week. We're going to put you on expenses and maybe the appearance money. So I went, okay, right. So my decision is I stay with the club, have to train harder, have to look after myself harder, have to watch my diet even more than I'm doing now, because we're going to the conference and I'd love to give it one final go. And you're actually going to give me about a third of the money I'm on now to do it. So
no chance.
It was just like, I'm not prepared to make that commitment for such a big step back. So I think, well, like I say, what I say, that's what he offered me. Almost, I believe personally that it was a way of him releasing me. Where Mark,
yeah, he's showing you the door. He's showing you the door.
And I knew that. I knew that's what he was doing. So yeah. So I sort of that was my decision then to leave the club. Probably the regret I have now is that actually I should have just retired from football at that point. Because I moved on to Hales Owen to play under the Bear, which was great. Another great club, you know, really, really good sort of infrastructure, great club, great players there. But I think probably from myself, after leaving Tamworth, that was probably, I didn't have that fire in my belly to sort of carry on playing, and I should have just walked away after the FA Trophy from football. In terms of playing, but I carried on for a bit. I played up until Christmas, and then got approached by Bedworth United to go as manager. I'd always wanted to give management a go and thought, okay, this is a good opportunity. I think that decision was probably one that was ran by my sort of my heart rather than my head. Myself and the club over time sort of weren't quite in the same place, and my experience of non-league football and boards and directors of non-league clubs was certainly tarnished very heavily. So I didn't work out well over the time. Had some good times, but sort of didn't quite work. And then really sort of that was me with football done after that. And then just focused on my sort of career, which had taken a back seat due to football, if I'm being honest. I sort of hadn't pushed it heavily due to football, but obviously that now became the key focus, and I sort of carried on from there.
Wow. Well, I think your Warren's explanation is longer than that. I think I better put the phone down and come back to it in 20 minutes' time. But great insight, Mark. Honestly, that was brilliant. It's good how you can be, even now. Obviously, you'd love to say a lot of things very differently. You've clearly been upset along the way with one or two people, but very diplomatic in your response there. And it's always different now, isn't it? Looking 20-odd years later, you can look back and reflect slightly differently than what you would have done at the time.
Oh, God, yeah. without a doubt. I think because it was probably the last thing I did in football. Let's probably be honest, because I think it was the last thing I did in football. I didn't go on and play anywhere else and have any great, you know, have other successes, other experiences. I think because it was the last thing I'd done, it did rankle for a long, long time, because it left a sour taste at the end of a fabulous football career. And it was hard. It was a tough one to take. Just not the fact that it happened. Hey, players get dropped from finals, etc., every day, every year, or forever and ever, and will always happen. I think it was the manner it was done, I thought, was the really, really poor bit, and showed me more about the man than necessarily anything else. But there you go. Anyway, I've let it go now. You know, I've let it go. It's gone.
That's like it, Mark. No, but brilliant. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. And Warren,
over to you.
Yeah, well, as you guys know, I was kind of on the transfer list for a while at Tamworth. That kind of moved over to when Gary Mills took over, and my personal life circumstances changed. I broke up with my girlfriend, and we got back together, and she said to me, Warren, I'm moving to London. Do you want to come with me? And it took me about 3 seconds to kind of say, yes, I'll move to London with you, because what had happened as well, after the FA Cup run, I'd had a chance to go to Sheffield United on trial, played well, training with the first team, scoring goals in the reserves. But I remember having that conversation with Neil Warnock, and he said to me, Warren, if you were 3 years younger, I'll sign you. But I'm thinking there might be 19, 20-year-olds who might be better than you in a couple of years' time. He said I was good enough to be on the bench. So I thought to myself, that was my last opportunity to actually get back into the pro game. So from that moment on, my focus was media, was journalism. So got an opportunity to move to London. And I said to Gary Mills, listen, I've got another year left on my contract. I said, in the summer, I'm moving to London. I said, I'm not coming back. He said to me, will you come back and train? I said, no. So I said, I've got no intention of coming back. I said, do what you want, really. So I'm not coming back. I'm moving to London, and I'll look for a club down there. So he said to me, okay, we'll want some money for you. So luckily, Woking came in for me. It was as Mark was saying, it was a shot at the conference. I'd never played at the conference. So I was moving to London and going to Woking at the same time. And it was a really great opportunity for me. I didn't realise how at Woken had been struggling for the last few years. I just wanted to get to the conference and show what I could do. Got there, scored in my first game. I scored after a minute. I scored the quickest debut goal in the club's history. I scored after about 90 seconds. I thought, wow, this was great. I'll have a bit of this. As time went on over the next few months, it was a tough first season for me because of A, the team, and B, it just slightly passed me by because I was in a team that was struggling. So I moved back down to Havant and Waterlooville, and ironically, my debut was against Tamworth as well, when I think you beat us 2-0. It was quite a comprehensive win. Did okay at Havant for a season. But the fact that I was travelling from London to Hampshire, yeah, for a club who didn't really appreciate me, didn't really respect me in the way that I thought I deserved to be respected. I scored 28 goals that season, and I didn't think it was enough. So I said to him, okay, fine. If you don't think I'm good enough, I'm not really going to make the effort to travel all the way down to Hampshire for this sort of nonsense. So I played locally for the Dulwich for a bit, then went back down to Lewes because a lot of my friends who I'd made in London were there. I had a great time there, scored plenty of goals, got them promoted to the. It was all part of that new sort of where the leagues got reshuffled. So we got into the Conference South there, left them after a bit, played for Barking again, a local side, really enjoyed that. And then the money ran out there. Nothing to do with me, I hasten to add. The money did run out. So I remember going on trial at a club called Enfield Town. And I stood in the middle of the pitch, guys, and I said to myself, I've had enough. This was in the second half. We had about half an hour left of the game. And I just literally just jogged. I just stood around the pitch. I jogged around. And I said to myself, I am done with football. I was 33 at the time. I just had enough. Got home and said to my missus, I'm never playing football again. She didn't believe me. And that's how it was. I never played again. Just focused on my career, working for a sports news agency, getting into journalism, working at Talk Sport. And then sort of my career progressed. So again, it was a tough time, but really enjoyable to move my career on, work for Talk Sport. I've worked at Satanta, then worked 3 years at the Sun, and now started my own sports consultancy where I'm working with current players and former players just to kind of help them with their media careers, really. And I must admit, it's been hard work, but I'm really, really enjoying the challenge of growing my own business. I've never done it before. So there, it's been a good time, and things are starting to move in the right direction. Things, you know, I built a business that was pretty much bulletproof. The only thing that stopped my business at the moment is the coronavirus.
The only thing that stopped your business is the pandemic.
The only thing I didn't account for with my business when I built it was a worldwide pandemic. So I think I'm doing okay.
Sloppy lack of planning,
definitely.
Sorry.
So, no, many are in the same boat, and let's hope and pray that it passes us
as soon as possible.
Absolutely, yeah, completely.
No, brilliant insight again, Warren. Thank you for that. Now, final point, really, because obviously this is probably the longest podcast that we've ever had. It's great. And hopefully the listeners are really into it and not falling asleep. You both played in the same side as another Tamworth legend and the current manager, Gary Smith. Was it obvious to you that he would go on to be a manager?
I'd be interested to see whether we answer the same here, but I would say no, personally. I playing with Gary and knowing Gary for a long time, I've played against him since he was a young kid at Sutton when he first started out. I remember the battles we had. I'm not sure I'd have had Gary as a manager, personally. Don't know why I say that, but he's not probably one of the guys I'd have thought would have been a manager. Maybe Warren will.
Well, I'm just interested.
He always wanted to coach.
Stronger. Yeah, but there's a big difference between coaching and managing, isn't there?
Yeah, but I think absolutely. if you look at, there's been loads of managers up and down the country and up and down the leagues who have been quote unquote, as you say, headstrong. But it doesn't mean that they wouldn't be able to sort of forge your career in management. Gary's always, I've known Gary since I was 13, 14 years old, and Gary's always been a player who did play, but he always wanted to coach. And I remember him starting to do some work. He did coaching schools in the summer. I think he was doing some work at Aston, at one of the local, I think he was working at Aston Villa with some of the young kids at one point. So Gary always wanted to coach. I think it was a case of where he got the opportunity, and I was so pleased for him when he told me he was he went back to Tamworth and was working with the young academy, because Tamworth's a perfect fit for Gary because of the career he had there and the connection he's got with the fans. I remember when I first went to Tamworth, Gary was the main man there. Gary ran the place, let's be clear. Mm-hmm. You know, it all revolved around Gary.
Can I just come in? I'm not sure Willie Batch would agree with that, but yeah, carry on.
I'm sticking with my guns. Gary, everybody at that club loved Gary, and I think that I'm pretty sure that affection still is there now. So for him to go back there, for me, was great. And as I said, I think he always wanted to coach. So I was over the moon for him when he got the opportunity to manage the club. So I rang him, congratulate him, said, Gary, I'm so pleased for you, you know. So, and then to see him get the opportunity and have a good end of last season and have such a good season this season, I couldn't be more proud. And I'm just so glad not a case of him getting the job because he's a former player. Now he's showing what he can do at that level. And with what's happened now, clearly with the leagues being cancelled, he'll get the opportunity over the next year or two to really take the club forward, and I'm really pleased for him.
I'd echo that completely. I think when we look in as ex-players, and you know, you understand the real fabric and makeup of a club, having been there for as long as you know we were, and really being close to the heartbeat of the club. I think seeing some of the appointments that were being made, you did sort of, you know, the club was moving away. Doing what probably a lot of football clubs do, but sort of moving away from its DNA, from its, you know, from what makes it a club. And I think the appointment to Gary was almost a godsend.
I think just going back to, I think in terms of Gary, I think Mark was from Tamworth fans, where I'd speak to them when I went. And say it isn't the same. It isn't the same anymore. It's not the connection we have with the players has gone. The players would come into the wouldn't even come into the bar and sort of mix with them and have a drink after the game, which is something that we did and enjoyed and made a point of doing. So again, it's not just about that. It's respecting the fans. It's respecting the Tamworth fans, because football clubs up and down the country, players will say, "Listen, our fans are the best. Our fans are great." But you have to live, you have to play for that club, you have to live and breathe that club, which is what we did for 4 years. And to understand the Tamworth fans and the connection they have, because they're incredible. They're an incredible set of fans, and I've always had a huge amount of respect, not just for football fans in general, necessarily, which I do, but for football fans of non-league clubs, because they support their local team through thick and thin. They don't have to support Tamworth. They could have gone and supported Birmingham or Aston Villa, but they've chosen Tamworth, and I've always respected that. And I've always wanted to show that respect to them in the way I play and in the way that I interacted with the fans before, during and after games. And I thought that was always important to me. So for someone who embodies what I've just said to you is Gary, and for Gary to be in charge of the club, I just think it's a perfect fit. And I hope and pray that Gary is given the time and the resources to take the club forward. And if he is given that, I'm sure he'll be a great success.
Yeah, brilliant. And great points there, Warren, as well. And because you're absolutely right that the club lost its mojo, you know, lost that connection with the fans. And non-league is all about that, as most fans would. would say. So what Gary's done, and of course Tom Bailey and Andrew Dunlishan as well, as a great team as they are, is they've reinvigorated the club. And it's not just about results, it's about the whole atmosphere of a club and how the fans are gaining that connection again. And the new breed of fans, like Harry, the younger fans that have come through who weren't fortunate enough to see you guys play, you know, they're starting to see a new generation now and a new, like a reverse almost of the club, and it's absolutely fantastic. Is there anything that you would like to add before we finish off today?
I think I've pretty much covered it, but those 4 years building up from going from Sutton team to going into Tamworth reserves to break into the first team, and it's the best football-wise, the team, the club, the fans, what we achieved and what I achieved personally. It's easily the best football time of my life. And again, going back to, I'm looking through some of the old clippings, there was talk of me being moved on to one or two other clubs, Wigan, Swansea City, and Birmingham, one or two others, and one or two teams in Scotland. Again, those things would only have been able to happen if I played in a good side, with good team, with good players around me, with a good manager, and with great fans. And that's what happened. So I'll be eternally grateful for the opportunities given to me at Tamworth. I'll be eternally grateful for that club and what it gave to me. And hopefully they appreciate what I gave to them.
Well, I'm sure they do, Warren. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you guys. I'm just going to go back over those stats for some of those younger fans that don't remember. Mark, 115 goals in 237 appearances, and yourself, Warren, 69 goals in 140, both just under 1 in 2. Brilliant, brilliant stats at any level of football. As I say, thank you very much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure today, and really, obviously, hope that you stay safe, and let's see you down the lamb again at some point, and all the very best for the future.
I would just like to take that opportunity to thank the pair of them again, Warren and Mark, for taking the time to speak to us earlier in the week there. Unfortunately, we are coming towards the end of tonight's show. I hope that everyone who is listening in has enjoyed week 4 of our weekly podcasts. Slightly different this time, hearing from two ex-Tamworth players. As always, please share this to your friends and family and anyone connected to Tamworth Football Club, and to get them listening in each week. You can also catch up on any previous episodes you may have missed out on through Spotify, Podbean or Apple Podcasts by searching Lambs Media. Just a reminder, there's still about an hour to go to vote in the Greatest Player competition. Be sure to check that out, and as well as the Goal of the Season video, which is going out on YouTube tomorrow morning. On next week's show, as I mentioned last week, we're hoping to have the first of our head-to-head player game show. Archie Bainham, Lambs Media, will be bringing us that. We'll also hear off Academy Director Mike Fowler, along with the second of our Legends interview, as we speak to ex-Tamworth keeper James Belshaw, along with much, much more. So thank you very much for listening. On behalf of everyone at Tamworth Football Club, stay safe, stay at home, protect the NHS and save lives.